Good morning. Welcome to Ridgeview Christian Church. We are very excited that you are here today to worship with us and to just come be a family together. We are very pumped that you are here. I had a very good week. I had an amazingly good week. I got to do a lock-in with the middle schoolers, which was exhausting, but it was awesome. I got to shoot my wife with the paintball gun this week. It was awesome. I got to have a lot of fun this week. So I don't want to be the only one that shares that today. So I want you to tell somebody in your row, somebody possibly that you don't know, what God did for you this week or something that you just thoroughly enjoyed this week. So go ahead. I know it's church, but it's okay that you talk, okay? It's okay to, it's all right to turn and turn and talk a little bit and share what God has done for you this week. So go ahead and start with that. For those of you that don't know, our first service is a little more traditional. It has a few older people in it, and one of the great things that happened this week is that one of our ladies didn't die. She's like, well, I didn't die this week, so that was good. And it's like, oh my goodness, that's fantastic. That's good that you didn't die. But it just put a smile on my face, like, all right, hey, you know, that's good that she wants to be here that bad. So before we go any further, though, let's bow and pray and ask God to meet us at this time. Father God, thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for us just getting to come and to worship you as a family, a group of believers. And we just get to sing about how great you are, how wonderful you are, and how your love impacts us and your sacrifice saves us, Father. Lord, as we come to our time of worship where we talk about you, where we learn more about you, Lord, I pray that it's not my words that are heard today, but God, that they are your words. Because if they are mine, we might as well go home now. It doesn't matter what I have to say, Father, but it only matters what you have to say. So please, let me be your mouthpiece this morning. Please speak through me. And Lord, just let us be challenged today with what you have to say. About 10, 15 years older than my parents. So as time went on, they're like, oh, call us Grandma and Grandpa Petrosino. It's like, oh, that's cool. My grandparents are either dead or in Florida. So, you know, hey, that's awesome. I've never had grandparents. That's pretty cool. So we got closer and closer, and Richard, he really took a liking to me and my brothers and just brought us close and taught and mentored us and showed us what it's like to involve Jesus in everyday conversation. He not only talked about Jesus on Sunday, but he talked about Jesus when he was building cabinets. He talked about Jesus when he was installing the cabinets. He talked about Jesus while he was driving to go install the cabinets, to his coworkers, to the people that he's installing, to the people that he is installing their cabinets for. He's just always talking about Jesus. He's always at the church. He's always working. Just everything that he did, he breathed, slept, and ate talking about Jesus, serving Jesus, showing others who Jesus was. So he was a huge, huge guy in my life. 4 or 5 years went along, and our lead pastor was like, well, hey, I'm out of here. He left on a Wednesday, and just up and left. And so we were like, oh, what do? We've got this church that has like 40 people in it, and we have no pastor. We have nobody to preach on Sunday. We have no worship leader because he was also the worship leader. And so it's like, all right, accompaniment tracks, and we've got nobody to preach. And so Richard came up and he told everybody, listen, God has put on my heart that I should be preaching. I've always felt really uncomfortable saying that, but I really feel that he is prodding at my heart to start preaching at this church. And everybody's like, all right, cool. That's great. That's awesome. Go ahead, start preaching. 3 months into it, we now have had to go to 2 services because, granted, we could only fit like 40, 50 people in the room, but we grew to 70 people. Just in 3 months, we doubled where we were because of his preaching. His preaching convicted people, it challenged people, and it moved people from where they were to where they needed to be. And so God was blessing us, and things were going great. Things were going awesome. My parents called me into the living room one day, and I hated that. I hated going to the living room. It's like, listen, Jeff or Josh did it. It wasn't me. I didn't do anything wrong. But they were really serious, and they're like, Chris, we need you to sit down. And I was, great, what did I do? You know, I'm racking my brain thinking what I did wrong. And they told me, hey, Grandma and Grandpa Petrosino were actually just killed in a car accident. Drunk driver crossed the median, smashed their car. They're gone. And that destroyed me. It I don't really remember anything about the conversation except they told me and that I was angry. And I already was a pretty angry kid in the first place, so I didn't know who to be angry at. I knew it wasn't my parents' fault. I didn't know the lady that hit them, so it was hard for me to be mad at her. So the only person that I was mad at was God. I chose to be mad at God because things didn't work out the way that I thought they should. So I decided it was God's fault. Well, the church split. Well, it dissolved. It didn't split. It just kind of dissolved, and we went our own ways. And we started going to this new church, and I didn't want anything to do with church. I didn't want to serve in it. I didn't want to help. I didn't want to go, but my parents made me go. That's the only reason I went. You know, you stand there, sing the songs, and you're at least going. So I did that. They had a youth group, which we'd never had before. It was just me and my four siblings, and we were the youth group. But now we actually had kids to go to youth group with, but I didn't want to go. Had no desire to have a relationship with Jesus. Jesus, he wasn't fair. God wasn't fair because this great man that he put in my life got ripped away for something that he didn't do wrong, but because of some lady deciding to do the wrong thing at the wrong time. That's not fair. And so I continued to have a hard heart towards Jesus and towards God and didn't want anything to do. So I decided to throw a fit, and I decided to tell God, I don't want to help you. I don't want to serve. I don't want to do what you are asking me to do. Obviously, that did not last, because, I'm here. So, but that lasted for 2 or 3 years. That lasted 2 or 3 years of me saying, you know, God, forget you. I don't need you. I don't want anything that you have to give. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is us telling God no. Us telling God that, you know, your salvation is great and all, but I really don't want to do the rest of it. I'll accept what you're offering, but I'm not going to do anything for you. We're going to be talking about saying no, or about saying yes to what God has called us to do. Okay? Because God has given each and every one of us a gift, a unique gift to help with his body. Okay? Big C church, like global church, but also little C church, Ridgeview Christian Church. Okay? He has given each and every one of us a talent, a gift to help here and abroad. Maybe you guys haven't experienced somebody being ripped away that you love and being mad at God for that. But some of us have decided not to serve because we're angry at God because we feel like we've gotten the shaft in life, that we've gotten shunned, that we've gotten the short end of the stick. Maybe it's because we don't like the people that are in the ministry. Maybe we don't like the leadership of the church, and so we decide to I'm not going to serve there. Maybe it's because you don't feel at home at a church body. Maybe it's because you just honestly have not sat down and thought or have ever heard that you need to serve. That could be it too. But for whatever reason it is, we need, as Christians, we need to serve. And I'm not just saying here at Grandview, not here at Ridgeview, but here in the community, we need to serve. Part of serving Jesus is also telling others about God. Okay? It's having that conversation with the person that you sit next to at Applebee's. You know, it's talking to your neighbor. It's talking to, you know, that person that you're doing laundry with. Hi, students. Welcome back. It's that person that you're doing laundry with. It's whoever God puts in your life. God has given us people in our lives to be stewards of. People that we're supposed to invest in their lives. Are you serving him with the people that he's given to you to invest in? But this is going to be our last sermon series, or our last episode in this sermon series of Go. And we're going to be talking about Paul. Paul is a stud. Paul is a beast, okay? Paul wrote 2/3 in the New Testament. Paul was handpicked by Jesus. Like, Jesus came down, knocked him off his horse, and said, you're mine now. And like, it was great. You know, he went blind, got healed, and all that jazz, got baptized, and then goes and starts preaching about the gospel about Jesus. It says in Acts 9 that Paul was to be his instrument to take his message to the Gentiles, to kings, and as well as to the people of Israel. And he does it. He doesn't moan and complain that, oh, God, you made me go blind, and you know, but you did heal me. You know, he didn't complain about any of that stuff. He went out and did it. He said yes to what God had to say. If you want to turn to Acts 16:16, that's where we're going to be for the most part of today. I'm going to be reading from the NLT, so I hope that doesn't throw anybody off. But we're going to look at this specific example of how Paul served God even when it was hard. Even when there were times and plenty of excuses to say, no, this is too hard. Verse 16 says, one day, as we were going down to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. She earned a lot of money for her masters by telling fortunes. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved. This went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And instantly it left her. Her master's hopes of wealth were now shattered. So they grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities at the marketplace. The whole city is in an uproar because of these Jews, they shouted. They're teaching customs that are illegal for us as Romans to practice. A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape, so the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains fell off every prisoner. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted to him, stop! Don't do it! We are still here! The jailer called for lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household. And they shared the word of the Lord with him and with all those who lived in his household. Even at that hour of the night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. Then he and everyone in the household were immediately baptized. He brought them into the house and set a meal before them. And he and his entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God. That is a great story. I love that story. I mean, if it just stopped at they were singing hymns and other prisoners heard that, that'd be an awesome story right there. Because I know, how many of you got spanked when you were a kid? Yeah? Yeah, it's awesome, isn't it? Oh, it's so great. But I remember getting spanked. I didn't want to sit down. Okay, I remember getting spanked. I was like, nope, going to be playing Nintendo on my stomach right now because my butt hurts. You know? But can you imagine being stripped down, not with your clothes on, but being stripped down and then being beaten with rods, with wooden rods? I don't want to think about that. That just hurts, just thinking about being hit with wooden sticks like that, wooden rods. But these guys, at midnight, I want to be sleeping. I don't care if I'm healthy or not. I want to be sleeping at midnight. But at midnight, these guys are chained up in a jail, beaten. Obviously, they had open sores because they had wounds that were tended to by the jailer after this happened. Okay? Chained up, but they weren't just groaning. Man, Silas, this is a stupid idea. Yeah, I know. I told you to turn left at Albuquerque. You know, it wasn't any of that stuff going on. It was, hey, let's worship God. God has called us to take the good news of the gospel to the world. These prisoners are part of the world, so let's sing so they can hear it. Let's pray to God so they can hear it. And let's share the joy and the love that God gives us because our God is great. So instead of just singing, he's alive, he's alive, just to each other, they're singing it so that the other prisoners can hear. That in itself is amazing to me. That in itself is just, that's pretty darn cool. But it doesn't end there. There's an earthquake, the prisoners, chains fall off, the doors open up, and Paul and Silas don't run away. They don't run away. They stay there. They save the guard's life because they tell him not to kill himself. And then They tell him how he can save his soul, how God can save him from eternal death. And his whole household is saved. They're baptized because Paul and Silas said yes. They said yes to the calling that God gave them, which is to go into all the world and tell them about me and my good news. They said yes. I wouldn't have wanted to say yes. I'd be hurting. I'd be tired. I'd be griping the whole time. I guarantee it. Because I gripe when I get a little hungry. Okay? I gripe when I get a little, when I don't get sleep. Okay? So I was pretty cranky on Tuesday because I didn't get sleep because of the lock-in. It was great. We, as Americans, have it very good. We have it very, very good. We don't have to worry about being persecuted for our faith. We don't have to worry about having to hide. We get tax credits for tithing to the church. I mean, we have it pretty good. We have it very, very good. We live in the greatest country in the world. So why are we not saying yes more than we already than we are? Why are we not willing to say yes to God? Paul is very uncomfortable. He is facing adversity, and instead of telling God off, he says, "Yes, Lord." Okay? This is not the first time, this is not the last time that he's going to be uncomfortable either. In 2 Corinthians 11:23, Paul gives us a nice list of all the things that he has had to go through in his journeys throughout the years. Okay? In verse 23, it says, "I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped more times without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced dangers from my own people, the Jews as well as the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long in..." Excuse me, I've got the hiccups. "I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty, and I have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm." In all of this adversity, in all these things that Paul had to go through, not once does he ever say, "Yeah, God, I would like to retire now. Yeah, can somebody else go do this? I don't want to do this anymore. I quit." He never makes an excuse of, "My leg, it's really bummed out, and yeah, I can't walk on it very well." He never makes an excuse. He always says yes to the situation that is put before him. He continually goes after the task that God has put before him, which is to spread the gospel. To spread the gospel. He continually says, "Yes, Lord." So how does this relate to us? How does this story of Paul relate to us? I've never been shipwrecked. I have never had to worry about being beaten with sticks. I've never had to worry about not having a warm place to sleep. Not saying that not everybody has, but I know that I haven't. So how does this relate to me? How is this story of Paul supposed to relate to me? How is super Christian Paul supposed to relate to me? How is it supposed to relate to us? I love looking at it as a pep rally. Well, not a pep rally, but a speech. A get-em-going speech. You guys remember Ray Lewis from the Ravens? How many of you guys watch football? He's just like, "Boom, yeah, I'm here! And we're going to play some football!" That's how excited we need to be about Jesus. If a man can get that excited, and that's not even close, if a man can get that excited about football, how are we not supposed to be that excited about serving our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? We should be so excited that we are busting at the seams, ready to go and be like, "You, do you know Jesus? Let me tell you about him, because he's amazing. He is absolutely amazing." Why are we not saying yes to this? Why are we not saying yes to serving? Why are we... Are we too good to serve Jesus Christ? That's the question that we really need to ask ourselves. Is, do I think that I am too good to serve the Creator of the universe? I hope not. When we see Paul, he gives us this pep talk of, listen, guys, I have roughed it. I have gone without food. I have gone without shelter and without being warm. I have gone without, or I have gone while I was beaten. I have been stoned. I have been shipwrecked. I have gone through all this stuff. And you know what? Nothing has kept me from serving God. Nothing has kept me from completing the task that he told me to do, which is to go and preach the gospel. The only thing that can stop you is you. That's it. That's the only thing that can stop you from serving and saying yes is yourself. So let's look at ourselves. Let's take a good look in the mirror. We're not going to ask for hands up. We're not going to ask for, hey, have you ever experienced this? But are you where you should be with Jesus Christ? Are you willing to serve him, starting with the little things? Because serving at church, that's starting with the little things, because it doesn't cost you anything. You should do that just out of love. Just out of love. Reaching out in the community, that's a bigger step in my opinion. Reaching out because it's not safe out there. It's safe here. This is home base. That is not. We need to start taking bigger and bigger steps towards saying yes to Jesus and not saying yes to ourselves, because the excuse of, I don't have time, when God is telling you to do something, you say, I don't have time, your priorities are out of whack. Your priorities are not lined up right. Because if God is telling you to do something, he wants you to do it. We have had a bunch of people take that, that spiritual gifts test. Sorry. We have had a bunch of people take that spiritual gifts test. And you know what the awesome thing about it is? Not one of them is the same. Not one of them is the same. They are each individually different. Every single one of them. Nobody has scored the same score. That means that you are all unique. And I know that sounds really corny. You guys are all special. Okay? But that's what it is. Okay? You are special to God. He has created you for a specific purpose. And that is to serve him. I love this saying, is that God does not need you. God wants you. Okay, God wants you to serve him. God wants you to follow him. But God's kingdom is coming whether you're on his team or not. He does not need you to complete his plan. But he wants you on his team to complete his plan. Okay? As we go into this time, after service today, we're going to have a ministry fair. And like I said, plugging in at the church, that is the first step. That is the first step. And I know the big fear is, oh man, is Jesus going to dominate all my time? I hope the answer is yes. I really hope that the answer is yes, that Jesus dominates all your time, because he should permeate every single aspect of your life. Jesus does not ask for part of you. Jesus does not ask for 10%. Jesus does not ask for 99%. Jesus demands all of it. All of it. No ifs, ands, or buts. He wants everything. Okay? He wants all of it. So how are you going to respond today? How are you going to respond to his calling you to serve? I have no idea how he's asking you to serve, but we have a ministry fair that's going to be down in the gym after this is over. And there's going to be plenty of places to sign up to help serve. They're not going to be huge commitments. Some of them aren't going to be huge commitments. Some are going to be larger than others. But if you call yourself a follower of Christ, you need to get involved with his church. It is not enough to sit and to come on Sunday morning. It is just not. Okay? All right. Man, let's pray. If you guys have any decisions to make, like maybe you haven't followed Christ for the first, or you haven't ever decided to follow Christ, and if you have questions about that, come forward. Bill Dooley, where's another one? Bill Dooley would, and Don, or Don Stevens, or Matt, would, or sorry, I'm so sorry, Norman, or Norm would love to talk to you about how you can start following Christ today. We would love to talk to you about that. If you want to make the decision of coming and joining Ridgeview and making this your church home, we would love to talk to you about that today. If you feel like God is, yeah, he's poking at me and I need to get involved somehow, man, we would love to talk to you about that and get you involved somewhere. There are plenty of places for you to plug in. Something that we will never say is, oh no, we have enough volunteers. That is something that we're never going to say, or oh no, God has enough helpers today. We are not going to tell you that. God, if God is telling you to come, come. Obey his calling and come if he's telling you to come. If you would please stand, we're going to pray. Praise man will come up. Father God, thank you so much today for your spirit, God, for you telling us that you love us, that you want us. Thank you for the encouragement that we have from Paul to show us that, Lord, life may be awful sometimes, but you are always good. If we follow you, it might not be easy. It might not be all sunshines and rainbows, but God, it's going to be good because you are good all the time. Lord, let us not ignore your calling. Let us not ignore you any longer, but let us say yes to what you have for us, Lord, and let us be scared for what's going to happen. Let us be excited, not fearful, but let us be excited and ready for what's coming up. Because God, I know that you want to do big things. We might not be Paul, we might not go throughout the whole world and do things, but God, you have big plans for each and every one of us because one life is a big thing for you. Thank you for meeting us here in this place, in your precious name. Amen.